Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building a stacked Reese patch in Ableton Live 12 that has real roller momentum. Not a huge, flashy sound design monster. A proper bass that feels wide, heavy, controlled, and ready to sit under drums without fighting them. This is one of those D&B skills that pays off everywhere. If the bass line is right, the whole drop feels like it's moving forward. If it's wrong, the track starts sounding flat, messy, or disconnected. And in a roller, that bass is often carrying the entire mood of the tune. So the goal here is simple: build a three-part Reese stack. A clean mono foundation for the low end, a moving mid layer for the actual Reese character, and a top layer for grit, width, and urgency. When those three parts work together, the sound feels like one instrument, even though it's built in layers. Start with a clean MIDI clip and keep the phrase simple. One bar or two bars is enough. Don't overcomplicate it. A classic roller idea might be to held root note on beat 1, then a shorter movement note before the snare, then a little space for the next bar. That restraint matters. Why this works in D&B is because the bass does not need to be busy to feel powerful. In fact, a lot of the time, the opposite is true. The more space you leave, the more the groove can breathe, and the harder the bass feels when it comes back in. What to listen for here is whether the bass leaves room for the snare to crack through, and whether the phrase feels like it is pulling forward instead of just sitting there. If it feels dead, the rhythm is probably too static. If it feels crowded, simplify it. Now build the low foundation first. Use operator or wave eatable and make a simple sine-based sub. Keep it clean, keep it mono, and keep it boring on purpose. That's not a weakness. That's the anchor. Set the attack to zero or very close to it. Keep the release fairly short, maybe around 80 to 200 milliseconds depending on how legato the notes feel. Don't distort this layer too early. Don't stack extra movement into it. The low end should be solid enough that the upper layers can move without the floor disappearing. Next, add your first Reese layer. This is where the character starts to appear. Use wave eatable, analog, or operator with a saw-based or richer waveform. Detune it slightly, but not wildly. You want beating and internal motion, not a seasick wobble. You can place this layer in the same register as the sub and high-pass it later, or push it an octave up if that feels cleaner. Keep it mostly centered for now. If it's feeding too much low end into the patch, roll that away with a filter or EQ. This layer is the core of the Reese movement. The slight detune creates constant tension, and that tension is what keeps a simple roller bass line alive over time. That's the magic. It's not about constant note changes. It's about subtle motion inside a stable groove. Now add a third layer for grit and separation. This can be a duplicated Reese layer or a different stock sound source. High pass it so it does not fight the sub. Then add some gentle saturation, maybe a few dB of drive, and use EQ height if it gets harsh around the upper mids. This top layer is where the attitude lives. It can be a little wider than the middle layer, but don't let it take over. If the top layer gets too loud, the bass may sound massive in headphones and weak on a bigger system. That's a classic trap. Here's an important decision point. If you want a cleaner roller, keep the saturation lighter and the top end smoother. If you want a nastier, more modern Reese, push the drive a bit harder and let the upper mids bite more. Both can work. The choice is about vibe, not correctness. Now shape the stack with EQ and filters so each layer has a job. Keep the sub centered and clean. The low end should stay focused, usually somewhere around 40 Hz to 90 Hz depending on the key and arrangement. If the sub starts getting messy, that usually means something above it is leaking into the wrong space. On the Reese layer, cut mud if needed around 180 Hz to 350 Hz, and check for boxiness around 500 Hz to 900 Hz. If the bass needs more presence, a small lift around 1 kHz to 2 kHz can help, but only after you've heard it with the drums. Don't boost blindly. On the grit layer, high pass it and keep it out of the sub's way. If it gets sharp or plasticky, dip a bit in the 3 kHz to 6 kHz zone. You're not trying to make it shiny, you're trying to make it controlled and useful. What to listen for here is whether the bass still feels like one unified sound after the EQ moves. If the note movement disappears, or the patch starts feeling thin and disconnected, you've probably separated the layers too aggressively. You want hierarchy, not fragmentation. Now add some movement with auto filter or subtle modulation. Keep it slow and intentional. A roller bass should feel like pressure changing over time, not like a wobble effect. A low pass cutoff moving gradually over one or two bars can create a really strong sense of momentum. If you want to keep the workflow simple, automate the filter on the bass group rather than every layer separately at first. That way you hear the combined movement and avoid getting lost in details too early. This is one of the most important musical ideas in the whole patch. Indeed, NB, the best bass movement often feels like it's breathing with the drums. It opens a little before the snare, tightens after the hit, then resets. That's what gives a roller its forward pull. If the movement sounds exciting and solo but distracts from the snare, it's too much. You want the bass to feel alive inside the groove, not like it's performing on top of it. Now glue the whole thing together with a bass group. Add light processing only if it's actually helping. A simple chain with a Q8, saturator, and utility is often enough. If the patch is still too loose, a small amount of glue compressor can help, but use it gently. A little saturation can make the middle layer feel denser and more confident. A little utility can help you check mono compatibility and keep the low end centered. But remember, most of the width should live in the upper harmonics. The sub must stay mono. Always, if your low end is wide because of phase tricks, it might sound exciting in the studio and fall apart in a club. That is not a win. The goal is solid pressure, not stereo confusion. At this point, bring in your kick and snare. This is where the real test begins. A bass patch is never finished until it survives the drum context. What to listen for now is whether the snare still feels like the loudest event in the bar, and whether the kick is being swallowed by the bass. If the kick disappears, reduce the bass level before reaching for more processing. If the snare loses impact, check the timing of the notes and the low mid area around the res layer. A really strong roller often uses call and response. Let the bass hold the first beat, leave a pocket for the snare, then answer with a shorter note or a filter swell later in the bar. That tiny conversation between bass and drums is what makes the groove feel intentional. Now tighten the MIDI. Shorten notes if they're smearing into the snare. Lengthen them if the groove feels too nervous. You can also nudge notes slightly late if the bass feels rushed, or overlap them a little if you want a smoother legato pull into the next hit. Tiny shifts matter a lot indeed, NB. A bass line sitting just behind the drums can feel heavier and more laid back. If it comes in too early, it can feel urgent or tense. Both are valid, but choose on purpose. A good workflow move here is to duplicate the clip once it's close, then make only one change at a time. That way you can compare versions without losing the groove. Small changes are usually more effective than dramatic rewrites. Once the patch is working, print it to audio. This is a smart move in Ableton Live 12, because it lets you start shaping the arrangement instead of endlessly tweaking the synth. Audio also makes it easier to chop tails, reverse little bits, or create transition moments later on. If the tone is stable and the groove is locked, commit it. That final shape often helps you hear the bass line like a real arrangement element instead of a design project. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't overcomplicate the sub. Don't detune the res too hard. Don't let every layer live in the same frequency zone. Don't saturate the whole stack equally. And don't leave the drums out until the end. The bass has to earn its place in the drum pocket from the beginning. If you want a darker, heavier result, keep the sub almost rude in its simplicity and let the mid layer carry more of the attitude. If you want a softer liquid-leaning version, reduce the saturation, smooth the attack, and keep the filter movement more restrained. If you want to go more aggressive on a second drop, print a dirtier version or widen only the top layer a little more. A nice pro move is to check the patch in mono at low volume. If you can still follow the note rhythm and feel the pressure, the structure is strong. If the character disappears completely, the sound is depending too much on stereo tricks instead of proper layering. And one more thing that's easy to miss. Sometimes the best improvement is a tiny one. A small EQ move, a touch more saturation, or a slightly wider top layer can be more convincing than a huge redesign. Timeless DNB often comes from control, not overstatement. So let's bring it all together. A timeless res in DNB is really about hierarchy. Clean mono sub. Controlled mid movement. A top layer for grit and width. Simple notes. Smart filtering. Small automation moves that breathe with the snare. If the result feels heavy, readable, and like it could sit in a real drop right now, you've built it right. Now try the 8-bar roller exercise. Keep it stock Ableton only, keep the sub mono, limit yourself to 3 bass layers, and include at least one filter automation move. Then make a second version that's either cleaner or dirtier using the exact same notes. That comparison will teach you a lot, fast. Make both versions, bounce them, and listen back in mono. If one version feels safer and more timeless while the other feels more aggressive or urgent, you're on the right path. That's the move. Build it simple, judge it with the drums, and trust the pressure.